Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock from the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Nice to be with you. This is the radio show that many have said you need to listen to more than once to understand. I don't think you can ever really understand the show. You can listen to it for years. You can listen to it for decades. You can listen to it for a lifetime. You'll never, ever truly understand it because I don't. And I are the one what do it. Now, I want to also mention we had an offer from someone on Facebook, and anytime you get an offer from somebody on Facebook, man, you better, well, do one of two things. Either take it or run. Take it or run, or take it and run.
That's what she said.
Would you ask him not to do that, please?
Bud, come on.
What?
You do it again, Bud. I reach over there and I...
You're not going to reach over anywhere, Margaret, okay?
I am sick and tired. That's what she said. What a jackball. It's not even funny anymore.
You know something, Bud? You do sound like a jive ball. All right, I'll handle it. It's funny to me, Bud, but...
Yeah, I think it's funny.
But, you know...
Oh, it's funny to you.
Yeah, it is. But don't do it because it interrupts the flow of what it is that I'm trying to do. And what I'm trying to do is just keep on flowing, man, you know? I'm just trying to keep the flow going, man, you know?
Yeah, you want to stay liquid.
Yes, that's a very good point. If you're liquid, then... Yeah. So...
What do you mean liquid?
It's not a financial thing, General. I want to just maintain the... The groove, baby. So, we had a guy offer to listen to the... I forget your name, sir, if you're listening to the show right now. He offered to listen to the archives of the Phil Henry Show website. Now, as you probably know, if you listen to the show for any length of time, we have the largest archive, the largest repository of any single radio show. Is that Jessica Simpson on that dog food commercial?
Yeah, who's asking?
I am.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's...
It's not a dog food commercial, you jackball. It's for human beings to take off weight.
It's for human beings to take off... All right, I'm sorry. I apologize, Ms. Simpson, if you're listening, which, of course, yeah, sure. I thought it was a commercial for dog food.
Because she's playing with a dog, but it's a diet commercial. Oh, baby.
Yeah, you get people upset, man.
I didn't know. Look, first of all, I'm the wrong guy to ask about any of this stuff because women that, if you're telling me that she's fat, see, women that carry extra weight, as anybody knows that's listened to the show for any length of time, as any male member of our audience is probably of a like mind, chicks that carry a little extra weight on their asses especially are okay by me.
Yeah.
Woo!
Now.
You know, you really, and you know what's going to happen? More women are going to listen to you, and they're going to start packing the weight on until they look like big, fat tubs of guts, and then they'll be left in the breeze as you go riding off with the skinny model.
What are you talking about? All I'm saying is women have been getting it left and right on how fat they are, and somebody ought to just back off a little bit. That's all. I'm not saying that women ought to turn into tubs of guts. I didn't say that. But this whole thing about you got to look like you're a Biafran, forget it. All right, so as I said, this one chap said, well, now you have the largest archive of radio shows in the history of mortal man, Phil. I've heard you say that. I said, yeah. He said, I'd like to offer to listen to that because we had said, how long would it take you to listen to every single show in our archive, end to end, if you didn't have to stop down to eat? In other words, if you didn't have to take a break. So you could listen to every single show without taking a break. How long would that take, right? And I don't know. We put it at somewhere in the neighborhood of several months, right, Bud?
Well, it's said about 7 months.
Yeah, it's said about like 7, 8 months.
I think it would take longer because I think we got more than 5,000 hours. We must because I just saw a master sheet of every show that we have. If you multiply that by three, there's far more than 5,000 hours. You nuts. But the point is if there's 5,000 hours... I said, but you understand you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't think, you got to listen. And then the guy said, well, what difference does it make? As long as I'm running the shows end to end, back to back, I could be napping, I could be eating, I could go out and take a ride on my bike, I could take my wife and kids to the Alps. It wouldn't matter so long as I'm running the shows. And I said, you got me there. And he said, okay, I'll take the challenge. And I said, well, I didn't lay one down. And he said, well, how about it now? And I said, no, not that you've explained it that way, no. And he said, okay, I understand that. And I said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. Goodbye.
What?
That's exactly what happened. Why would a guy have to stay awake for it? All you got to do is just run him back to back.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mr. Henry. That's the most asinine. If you're challenging someone to listen to the programs, then that's what they're going to do. Listen to the programs. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. But what am I going to do? Test them? Okay, on the 12th day of July, I mean, that's ridiculous. The fact is, and the point of the whole exercise would be, how long would it take to air all of those shows back to back? It's not how long would it take to listen to them, but the question is, how long would it take for all of those shows to air back to back? And that's just a matter of math. So I don't think we have to have anybody listen to them. And I also said to him, you understand that I'd have to have you would have to sign a waiver. You would have to ultimately hold the Phil Henry Show and my companies completely blameless if you died of starvation, malnutrition, if you had a heart attack or a seizure, if your blood sugar dropped to a dangerous low level, if you had an insulin shock, any of these things, it wouldn't be my fault at all, nor would I be liable in paying for the medical. And he said, sure, I'm just a father with three kids. Why would I want you to pay for anything? And I said, you got me there. And we shook hands on that. It was a big misunderstanding.
You know, you laugh at things like that, Phil, but you could be in trouble.
Well, why do you? I'm not going to have the guy, hold me responsible. I want to be indemnified.
Right?
I don't want to be held responsible for it.
Well, the entire exercise to me sounds hideous, and that's why you got the wireman. He can give you a little more information.
Well, we got Wireman on the line. He was going to talk about Chris Christie. We will bring back Harvey Wireman. We're also going to talk a little bit more politically about, talk with Harvey a little more about the political ins and outs of these days. So, Harvey, did you hear that whole thing I just said as far as the guy with the back-to-back shows?
Yeah, I listened to that. Let me explain something to you. You know, I'm in the middle of a mall right now, and I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm waiting for my daughter and my son-in-law to come out of the Pottery Barn after they've purchased some garbage. Now, I could sue you for making me sit and wait, thinking I was going to talk about Chris Christie, and instead now I'm going to talk about whether you are going to make a listener of yours epileptic or elliptical. What is the disease?
Epilepsy.
Epileptic. Because you are the kind of a guy that would make him listen to your garbage can show end to end.
Okay, I get your point. So you want to sue me for what?
I'd sue you for keeping me hanging on the phone here through that entire ridiculous asinine break, not knowing I was going to come back and talk about that. I thought I was going to talk about
Chris Christie.
Right. So that's one kind of a lawsuit. Now, the other kind of a, you asked me, would this guy have a case if he listened to your show back to back and died of boredom? Yes, he would have. No, he would not have a case there because he should have known going in. However, if he knew that he would.
All right. Thanks a lot, Harvey.
Oh, my. You hung up on him again.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Well, do you want me to call him back on the cell phone?
You can call him back on the cell phone and tell him that he can go and have another ice cream cone and wait for his daughter because we won't bother him again.
Yeah, you look like you're going to cry and everything.
I'm not going to cry.
Well, then why do you have that look, that little hound dog look on your face?
What hound dog look?
You look like you're all bugged because he didn't want to talk about all of the grooviness of your archives.
Yeah, you got a point.
All right, I'm sorry, Harvey, that I left your ass sitting there thinking you were going to talk about Chris Christie and we came back with the archives. Anyway, sir, the challenge, albeit a fair one, I don't think I would have to put you through that, and therefore will not. All we have to do is just take all the shows and run them back to back. Or here's a great idea. How long are the shows? 3 hours. How many shows? Multiply it by that. Boom. And that's how many hours. 3 times 5,000, 15,000 hours, 24 hours in a day. You do the math.
No, you do it.
You do it because I'm talking on the radio right now. All right, we'll be back with more of this exciting and sexy talk, man. How many hours would it take? Vigilantes pose public relations problems for Mecca. What else is going on here, man, that's of any interest whatsoever? No bluster as Christie moves from scan. Okay, so we already talked about that. World Bank sees global economy picking up. There's good news. I also heard something about how China's going to have double-digit growth next year. What do you think of that?
What's that mean?
Good point. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, of course, the number is 855-500-7445. We're just getting back to work here, folks, you know, on the radio. Just don't mind me, okay? And it's been 3 days there doing one kind of a job. Now we're back doing this kind of job. Hey, we're just, you know, just working for a living. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. There's our good buddy. That's Jeanette Napolitano. Man, she's got the voice, huh?
Oh, I love her. She's
a great woman, a great, very generous lady, and she's got her horses, and she's living out in the desert. Can you imagine what the desert's like today?
Yeah, probably 100 degrees or something.
No, I saw that Death Valley was 64.
Death Valley was 64.
Yes.
Death Valley was 64 what?
Degrees, I guess.
Well, what did you think I was talking about? It's turned 64?
Oh, I didn't. Death Valley's 64 degrees.
Yeah. When was it 64?
I don't know. It might be 64 now.
Well, what was the temperature today? That's...
Yeah, well, was it 64?
I'm assuming it was 64 today as well.
Okay, so in Death Valley, it was 64 all day long. I doubt it.
I don't know, Phil. You asked what it was in Death Valley.
I would just be curious to know what the temperature was in Death Valley, because if it's 82 here, it might have been one hell of a scorcher out there. In fact, hold on for a minute, folks, because I have my trusty weather app, and I always look at this, and I've got a few cities that are plugged in. Right now, where we are at the El Pacifico, it's 73 degrees. Are you ready for that?
Well, what is going on? Is this the beginning of the end? Is this the apocalypse?
No. 73 degrees, though. It's going to get down to 61 by 5 a.m. It'll be in the 50s, the upper 50s. It'll be 57 degrees. That's as low as it's going to get. Now, tomorrow, it'll be 68 degrees. God, that is a hot 73 right now. You ready for that? L.A. at 64. What the hell is going on around here?
Well, I don't... Maybe it's something that's happening here at the El Pacifico because of the... Because I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's... Maybe this is the portal for the Antichrist.
Yeah, the portal for the Antichrist.
You know something? Don't kid about that, bud, because I know that it's very unlikely, but if the Antichrist is looking for a portal, this is as good a place as any.
Right. So anyway, if the Antichrist is looking for a portal... 73 here. See, now I'm going to find out what the hell it was. Death Valley. I always keep Death Valley handy.
And why do you do that?
Because I always here 45 degrees in Death Valley. Now you tell me how it is that it's 73 here on the ocean. It's 45 in the desert. It's 45 in Tucson, Arizona, right now. It's 43. It's 32 in Salt Lake City. All across the country, except for Miami and here, where it's 73 degrees. L.A. is 64. New York's 45. What's that about?
What about Washington?
D.C. is 41, and it's foggy right now. Or should be. I guess we could ask Nikki if there's fog out there, or is it just me? And it's foggy in, 41 and foggy. But only here is it 73. So it's been a real kooky, wiggy kind of a day. Here at the El Pacifico. Network neutrality ruling gives the FCC a chance to revise regulations. Now, this was the network neutrality thing that I think somebody was referencing. The Federal Communications Commission network neutrality rules lose out on a narrow technical issue rather than on claims the FCC didn't have authority to regulate broadband carriers. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia focused on narrow technical grounds to overturn the FCC Commission's rules requiring non-discriminatory, non-blocking access to the Internet. However, the court avoided the broader assertions by Verizon that the FCC did not have the authority to regulate broadband providers, saying that it was clear that the FCC did, in fact, have the authority. So the FCC saying it had the authority to regulate a broadband provider like Verizon. Verizon saying, no, you don't. The FCC trying to make this a network neutrality issue, meaning everybody has equal access to these tubes of of transmission, if you will. The problem, according to the court, is that the FCC had applied common carrier rules to an entity that isn't a common carrier. I don't know what any of this stuff means, you know.
Well, you had Harvey on the line, but you pissed him off.
Harvey is, he's too busy, man, with the Pottery Barn. Initially, the court's finding was greeted by cries around Washington that an internet apocalypse had just happened. Net neutrality is dead, the press releases cried. Immediate action is required today, said other equally distraught press releases. Headline writers echoed those frightening words. But as is frequently the case in Washington, reality isn't in the press releases. Rather, it's in the complete opinion, which lays out the very limited grounds where the FCC is wrong in its approach. Notably, the appeals court opinion rejects the vast majority of Verizon's arguments that claim the FCC has no right to regulate at all. The court rejected Verizon's position that Congress did not give the Federal Communications Commission jurisdiction over broadband access. All right, so in other words, what the ruling was, that Verizon's claims, or at least Verizon's rights, were upheld in some limited areas, but not in the broader overall. Meaning Verizon claiming that they had the freedom to act without the constraint of FCC rules, that is wrong. Yes, they must adhere to federal guidelines, but the federal guidelines that they must adhere to are not in total what the FCC claims they are.
So it was a limited victory for Verizon, but a broader victory for the FCC?
Yes. And that would mean a broader victory for Mr. and Mrs. Internet guy, like me, for instance, my business being on the internet. All I want is my little piece of the superhighway, of the information superhighway. I don't want the big tube, as the late Ted Stevens called it. I don't want a gigantic tube of access, just my little bit of access there. I don't think that we've had any problem getting our product to our consumers. But here's the thing, you know, today, as I mentioned, SoundCloud's down. SoundCloud is a big platform that provides all of the, or a great many of the podcasts that people listen to. It's a place where you go to access these podcasts. Sideshow Network uses it. We use it. There's a lot of people who are podcast producers that use SoundCloud. SoundCloud today crashed. And when I say they crashed, I was not able to access the Bobby Dooley podcast, even though we had put it on the SoundCloud platform. I couldn't access it all day. What's going on there? Is this one of these net neutrality deals? Huh?
Well, now, don't get paranoid, for God's sake. You're all in a heap. You're getting weird.
I'm not getting weird. I'm just asking. Is that what it is?
Well, I think what the general is saying, let's wait till all the facts are in.
Well, I'm not even saying that we got to wait for all the facts to be in. I'm just saying, was this one of those instances where you can't really track it down? There is no smoking gun. How do you find the smoking gun on things like this? Oh, geez, we're sorry. We weren't able to. It must be. How do you do that? I suppose far smarter people than I could do it. But at the end of the day, SoundCloud and people's access to the podcast on SoundCloud was unavailable. If that was a net neutrality issue, if there was somebody hogging the superhighway of grooviness on the internet, I don't know. But that was what was happening today. Today was very squirrely, man. It was like 80 degrees at the beach. SoundCloud was down.
Probably an earthquake's going to happen or something, or two tsunami.
What do you mean, a tsunami?
Well, I don't know, Phil, but doesn't that all feel very weird?
Yeah, it's been a weird day. And exacerbated by the fact that I feel weird, you know, having been eating all that Kraft Services Butterfinger Snickers and cheese sandwich food that I've been eating there at the old TV shoot. So, but I think that, you know, it's all going to smooth out tomorrow. I guarantee we come back here tomorrow, things are going to be groovy. If they're not at least smoothed out, they'll at least be a lot smoother, and I'll feel better about it if nobody else does. Again, our apologies to our subscribers tonight. The video cast is down. We did have a equipment problem. We didn't have a failure, but we actually went offline, so we didn't have a failure. We had some equipment that was just overheating. And I don't blame it for overheating. If I could talk to it, and it could talk to me, it would probably say, I quit, and I would say, I don't blame you. Good luck in your future endeavors. No, it was just...
Well, you said it's a very hot room, and it is. It's extremely uncomfortable in here. And the night started off strange. I'm trying to explain to you how I felt an eerie feeling going by that brothel in Park City, and you took that to mean I felt an invisible hand going down my panties.
You said that that's what it was.
I didn't use that. If I use that term, I apologize.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you apologized, Margaret, because, yes, you did use that term. I didn't use that term.
I don't remember say. Did I say an invisible hand went down my panties?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't ask you.
Yes, you did. We'll be right back with more world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, what song is this, bud? Jesus is just all right with me. The reason why I'm playing this is, well, actually, I'm just playing it because it's a bumper music.
Well, you saw the Madeline Murray O'Hare story.
Yes. I saw on Investigation Discovery today, which, of course, is one of my favorite channels of all time, the Madeline Murray O'Hare story, General.
Well, Madeline Murnau, you have to tell people who she was. She was an atheist, and she caused an awful lot of problems in this country.
Well, you know, yes, she did. However, Madeline Murray O'Hare, a famous atheist, if you don't know who she is, it's okay. I'll tell you who she was. She was a Baltimore housewife and mother who sued a school system in 1963, I believe, so that her son would not have to recite Bible verses before class. And many people probably think Madeline Murray O'Hare, people of my age, probably think it was Madeline Murray O'Hare who started the no prayer in school thing. No, it was not her. Her lawsuit had to do with Bible verses. Prayer in school had already been the subject of a federal lawsuit a year before. No, she became famous because she also eliminated Bible readings and became the face of atheism in America, if you will, the American Atheist. And in fact, she started an organization called American Atheists. And she was extremely outspoken. She was a loquacious woman. She was not shy. She gave speeches and addressed groups all over the country. Became very, very well known for this particular issue and was, in point of fact, not just an atheist. She was anti-religion, man. I mean, a lot of people could say that she sort of went overboard.
Well, I don't know. I think Madeline Murray O'Hare was a very courageous woman. I think she said things. One of the things that Madeline Murray O'Hare said.
What are you doing?
What?
Well, you're kicking your legs out and everything, acting like you're all giving a speech.
I'll do whatever I want. Would you tell him?
But don't criticize people how they're talking.
You do. Yeah, I'll talk about lazy lip.
Well, you do talk about how I talk about that. You don't like that, do you?
No, it drives me ape. If you wouldn't, never mind.
Yes, it happens to be an affectation of delivering an important point. Okay?
Oh, boy. Phil, I don't blame you. It's bugging me, too.
Never mind.
So she said something that I think is very true. If you question God, which is the ultimate authority, if you are an atheist, you question God, who is the ultimate authority, then you should not fear questioning any other authority. And that, I think, was very, very true and is a very valuable statement. And let's remember that it was Madeline Murray O'Hare that gave us the ultimate and, I think, deciding moment in history where there was the separation of church and state. I'm Margaret Gray.
Wait.
When I say I'm Margaret Gray, there's no more disagreement. Isn't that the deal, Phil?
Yeah, that's the deal, but you don't get to just say I'm Margaret Gray whenever you feel like it, you know.
Well, did I say anything anyone's going to disagree with? No.
I do.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Look, Margaret, that's not a magic phrase, all right?
Wait, hold on for a minute. When you say I'm Margaret Gray, no one gets to disagree?
That's my lockout.
Here, I got a lockout for you. I'm General Galen Shaw, and you bug me.
Ow!
Do that.
Well?
Margaret, you can't just say I'm Margaret Gray. That's the end of it.
Then what was the agreement we had?
When it's your segment, okay? We're still talking about this.
Boy, I'll tell you, Henry, you know what? You can't be trusted. Give this guy five fingers and he hands back four.
Anyway, so I'm watching this thing today, Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she was very famous. I never knew this. A lot of people listening probably do, and some of you guys that are listening, you don't even know who the hell she is. But I can tell you, the separation of church and state, as it is understood today, is really in large measure due to Madeline Murray O'Hare. And like her or hate her, and there were a lot of people that hated her. And I think a lot of people hated her not because she was an atheist, but because she was so anti-religion. She also was, she just believed in bringing down any of what could be viewed as traditional moral authority. She just believed in compromising and attacking and wrecking, if she could, anything that was viewed as the traditional moral authority. Her son, one of her sons, who had actually been converted to Christianity, I think his name is William Murray, claims that she had statuettes, small figurines, and art pieces around the house of individuals fornicating, of animals fornicating and so forth, or animals having sexual mating, I should say.
Animals are animals. They're not human beings.
I understand that, Margaret. I was looking for the right term.
Mating is the term.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Animals don't make love.
We got it. So,
Margaret, you know what? You'd be well advised. Every time you open your mouth, I feel like I'm getting acid reflux.
I'm trying to point some things out.
All right, fine. Anyway, Madeline Murray O'Hare goes through her life, and now she has developed sort of a relationship with one of her sons, John Murray, who is just absolutely dotes on his mother. He waits on her hand and foot. He just does everything she says. He never really develops any relationship with any woman at all in his life, other than with his mother, in terms of, you know, it's not anything other than, but he's just a slave to her wishes. And she also gets custody of her granddaughter, the daughter of her son, William Murray. These three people now live together. In 1994, 1993, a man comes to work for them. And I wish I had the name of the guy. Taylor was his name? William something. But there were three guys involved in this. And he's the office manager. He's the office manager for American Atheists. And apparently he burglarizes the office. Some $54,000, $54,000, I think, worth of petty cash and other things are taken from the office. She finds out about it. She becomes extremely vitriolic, and I think either the guy is arrested or has the guy arrested or otherwise is looking to be repaid, recompensed somehow for this theft, and generally is extremely vicious in her reprisal against this man. And he, this guy, I think the name is Taylor, becomes in his own way vindictive. He wants revenge against this woman who would dare, attack him for stealing. Now, this is a guy that's already a you can well imagine he's a psychopath. So that is the case there. This guy plots to have this woman, you know, kidnapped. And, in fact, he does effect the kidnapping of Madeline Murray O'Hare a year later, along with her son and granddaughter. They're kidnapped. They are held against their will, her son John and granddaughter Robin. They're held in a motel while the son is sent out by these kidnappers to cash in cougarans, to get blank checks and write cash amounts, and essentially drained the resources, liquefied and then drained all the resources of Madeline Murray O'Hare and the American Atheists, I think. Before they wound up killing all three of them. And that was the part, the guy's name was Waters, that's it, David Roland Waters. He had been a typesetter for American Atheists. And he'd also had previous convictions for violent crime. So this woman, Madeline Murray O'Hare, brought this guy into her business, I think knowing, and I don't think there was, this was the kind of woman that knew everything about everybody. I don't think she hired anybody without knowing who the hell they were. Brought this guy into her business. He winds up kidnapping all three, draining all of the assets of the family, and then murdering all three of them by strangling them. And I won't go into the details. They do in the show as to the specifics of how these people were killed. It's just absolutely, it was a story of such biblically tragic proportions, you know, going from the landmark position that Madeleine Murray O'Hare had in American history in terms of American jurisprudence and constitutional law and the way we understand our Constitution and separation of church and state, and then
you said separation of church and outer space.
Yeah, I think you did. I didn't say separation of church and outer space.
You're really something, Dickman. You know that?
That's what I thought he said.
Well, just because you thought I said it didn't mean I said it. So anyway, she went from this really, I think, significant place in American history to being strangled, dismembered, and dumped out in a field in Texas, man. And it wasn't until 2002 when they had finally convicted this turd. And by the way, the Austin Police Department was ripped a new ass by a reporter by the name of Robert Bryce. Ripped an ass by the FBI. The FBI, I don't think, ever made a public statement about the Austin police, but in private, the FBI, in the person of their agents, was said to have rolled their eyes. When anybody asked them about the Austin PD and what their how they dealt with this case, because this was all down in Austin and San Antonio, federal guys were like, man, don't ask me. These clowns, I don't know what they were doing. They had their thumb up their ass to the whole thing, because it did take the federals coming into this thing to finally solving it. But they finally found the decomposed skeletal remains, dismembered remains of the son, granddaughter, and Madeleine Murray O'Hare. And they identified her by way of a prosthetic hip that she had, the serial number. This is another way, however tragic, of identifying people who are unidentifiable any other way. You can actually take any kind of a prosthetic body part. There are serial numbers, and you can identify somebody that way. So it was fascinating, and it was ghoulish, and I got to tell you, as much of a, I don't know, a history buff as I am, I had no idea this was how she'd met her end. Murdered, and then, you know, robbed, kidnapped, robbed, murdered, body dismembered, and boom, by some psychopath that she had made the big mistake of hiring as an office worker. Wild, wild stuff. So says our brother, Johnny Carson. Although he didn't say it about this particular case.
I was going to say.
Right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And online at philhenryshow.com is our video cast, which is down for this evening. We've had a little bit of a technical snafu this evening. We're also on TuneIn, and we don't hold back on shouting that from the highest rooftops. If you are not available, I mean, if our show is not available to you in your local place, wherever it is that you live, then by all means, grab it at TuneIn. And it is live there, and it is on our own channel, the Phil Henry channel, so it's, I think, very, very convenient. We've just been kind of going down all this stuff here tonight, and I just remembered the whole thing that I saw about this Madeleine Murray O'Hare, you know.
But she was talking about praying in school.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, see, prayer in school...
Bud... Prayer in school at one time was something that children could do until this atheist came along and she said, no, you can't. And I can't tell you.
She didn't say, no, you can't.
Well, she's the one with the big bazoo.
General, it was her constitutional right.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. I'm talking. This woman came along with the big fat mouth and she said, am I right or am I wrong?
No, she didn't go, ah-ba-ba-ba-ba.
She said she didn't want her son reading Bible verses. What's wrong with that?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that, except we have a generation of young people now that are godless, mindless, raving things. Instead of young people in ties and cordovan shoes and navy blue slacks, which is the way I like to see a youth.
Uh-huh.
What's that supposed to mean, uh-huh?
That sounds like you want to dress a boy up.
Why, you dirty little...
Hey! God, came at my throat!
I'll go at your throat any day of the week. You calling me some kind of a chicken hawk?
What are you talking about, General? Talk about a guy in a navy blue slack.
I'm saying that I think a youth should be dressed in navy blue slacks with a tie. How does that make me some kind of a oiled-up chicken hawk?
It doesn't.
And what are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at anything. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're not laughing at anything.
Phil, you can't sit there, Phil, and go, and then say you're not laughing at anything.
Well, General, look. No one's saying that young people shouldn't be fine, upstanding people, but we are talking about the Constitution of the United States, right?
No one knows the Constitution, but I fought for this country to defend that Constitution. You understand that?
Yes, sir, I do.
So what are you trying to tell me? I don't understand the Constitution?
I'm just saying that the separation of church and state is a pretty important doctrine. It is a part of the Constitution. Whether it was Madeline Murray O'Hare or somebody else that came up with it, yes, she wasn't a very likable person, I'll give you that. But you want to know something? She didn't break any laws. She was just a kind of an unlikable person for some people. Other people thought she was an important person.
Well, why'd this guy get so bent out of shape that he decided to kidnap her, rob her, and then chop her up into little pieces and pitch her in a vacant lot someplace?
I'll tell you, the whole thing with this cat that killed Madeline Murray O'Hare, it had nothing to do with the fact that he didn't like the fact she was an atheist. It had nothing to do with the fact that he didn't dig. He just wanted to rob her ass because she had busted him. She'd humiliated him. She caught him stealing 54 G's from the office, something in that neighborhood. And she got pissed, you know.
Well, one of the things in this show that I think it was pointed out, I think it's a very good point, there was no way they could let her go, because if they'd let her go, she would have sought them to the ends of the earth, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. These guys that kidnapped them and stole from them, they believed, they had all three of them believing. That's why the son, John, went out and got all these blank checks and got all this cash and went and got all these gold cougarans and essentially got all of these assets liquefied to the point where these kidnappers could take possession of it with the belief that they would be let go. That is, Madeline Murray O'Hare, the grandson, and the son, and the granddaughter would be let go after all of this was transferred to these guys. They believed this. And the observation was made, if you think about it, especially this guy Walters, who had worked for her, there's no way he's going to let her go, because Madeline Murray O'Hare was a... She was a son of a gun, man. This woman was going to chase your ass to the ends of the earth and burn your ass down if you stole from her. And she was vindictive and vicious and ready to go after anybody. And he probably knew that. He had already been turned over to the cops by her.
So there was no way he was going to let her go?
No way, man. No. I wonder if she knew that. She must have known that. She must have known. I'll tell you one thing. If she didn't, that is the most amazing moment of naivete in the life of a woman who otherwise was known for her savvy and her smarts and her sophistication and the inability of people to put one over on her. If she actually believed these guys were going to let her ass go, then it was a moment of wishful thinking that, you know, I don't think anybody would ever really attribute to somebody like that. It turned out, you know, they didn't. The thing that I watched today was, and this must have been the testimony of Walters, because they gave him a stint in federal prison, which is where he stayed until he died of lung cancer. They let him go to federal prison, because apparently federal prison is a lot easier, it's a lot easier time to do than state. And in exchange, he told them exactly what happened. And one of the things he said was that she seemed okay until the day that they killed them. And she looked uneasy, and she was, you know, making some complaints and so on and so forth. She was worried. You know, she was worried.
Yeah, she believed it up to then.
Well, if she believed it up to then. Point is, Madeline Murray O'Hare believed that they were going to let her go. She must have been really fooling herself for whatever reason. I guess that's how you keep yourself sane, man. Who knows? So that was that story. It was pretty nuts. It was a pretty goofy, it was a very interesting story, man. I got to tell you, I didn't even have any idea as to the, who knows. as to the depth of this thing. Okay, one final note here, folks. Breaking news that I think is really important, not that anybody else does. The United States can send somebody to Mars by 2030.
All right.
Yeah.
The United States and NASA can lead the way in sending human explorers to Mars by the 2030s, but it's going to take a sustained commitment to the incremental steps that will get us there. A working group of scientists, scholars, astronauts, aerospace industry veterans, and other experts said this week. Fat chance, man. I don't know. The group on Tuesday published the findings of an early December workshop at George Washington University in a report titled Affording Human... Hey, let me ask you guys a question. What difference does it make whether or not we go to Mars, you know? Turn that off, bud.
Oh, sorry.
What difference does what make?
If we go to Mars or not. I mean, does it matter?
Well, I was going to answer that question until you decided to play War Pigs. Now I'm... All bets are off.
Nothing personal, General.
Why, you dirty...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll answer the question tomorrow. And if you're saying anything, Nikki, say it louder, because we'll be... did you say anything? Okay. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same thing. And we're also... we'll probably have the video cast back up and running, I hope, by then. Until then, this is Phil Hendry bidding you adieu from the 73-degree El Pacifico.